Good morning and welcome to Tale of Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Tale of Family and all our friends who are joining us through Facebook and YouTube Live. We greet everyone who is in the sanctuary with us today, and I say welcome to the Tabernacle, where we are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. And I just want to ask, are there any veterans or members of the active duty service today here with us? Or if you're streaming and you are there, praise God. We certainly want to say thank you for your service and thank you for all that you do. For this is Memorial Day weekend, where as a nation, we honor those who have died serving our country. Those who have died so many of us can enjoy the freedoms that we have today. And here at Taylor Tabernacle, we are a Bible-believing church where we celebrate and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who too died so that we can be set free from the penalty of sin. But as our pastor would say, the good news isn't just that he died, but he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose on the third day. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? Amen. So at this time, we will have our scripture reading, and it will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And I ask all those who are able to stand, please do so in honor of the reading of God's word. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for blessing us to see just one more day. Lord, we ask that you comfort those who have lost loved ones while in the service of our country, as we honor those who lost their lives in the service of our country. Let this Memorial Day weekend be a time to reflect the sacrifices that so many have made. Honor those men and women who died while in the service of our military. And Lord, we lift up to you all who we love, all who we care for, and ask that you bless them and meet their needs. May your grace continue to sustain us, for every good thing that we have comes from your hands. Lord, we commit this day to you and ask that you go before us. All these blessings we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And I ask that you all remain standing as we welcome and greet the speaker for this hour. I would like to introduce our very own Brother Khalil McFarland. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, Tyler. How is everyone doing this beautiful Sunday? That's good. It didn't sound like you were doing all too well. How's everybody doing this beautiful Sunday? That's much better. That's much better. What a blessing it is to be inside the house of the Lord one more time. Oftentimes we take this for granted, but today I just want to say thank you, Jesus. I thank you for this divine connection, this divine communion that you granted us the ability to share with you, Lord. I promise I won't be before you long. I probably won't be more than like 15 or 20 minutes. And I actually mean that. Some pastors say 20 minutes and mean 40, but I promise it'll be 20. I promise. I just want to share a lesson that hopefully blesses you as much as it blessed me while I prepared it throughout this month. Just look at someone, because you know it's COVID, so you can't touch them. Look at them and say, God will come back for me. He will come back for the backslider, for he is married to them. I want to speak on this because it speaks to me personally. As a young Christian man, you know, living in the 21st century, 2021, I often find myself sometimes backsliding into sin. And it's a message that doesn't always get talked about, because we like to give off the appearance that we're perfect, but I'm really not. I have mistakes. I do slip up. I do, you know, fail in the eyes of God a lot. And this message really speaks to me. So please turn to Luke chapter 15. I'll be reading verses 1 to 7 for your hearing. Once again, that is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And when you have it, please just say amen. And like I do my students, if you need a moment, just say, hold on 1 minute. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Once again, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. You see, it's only 7 verses. I promised I wouldn't be long. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He will speak this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need not repentance. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I ask that you bow your heads as we pray before diving into this text. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for coming back for the backslider, Lord. I thank you for not forgetting the ones who make mistakes along this narrow path, God. I thank you for not forsaking us and for always remembering us, God, for making us important in your eyes, God, for having 7 billion lives to worry about, God. You still find time to come back for us, God. God, I thank you for not letting me get lost in the wilderness and stay there, God. I thank you so much for that, Jesus. I thank you for this gathering that we are privileged to have, God, especially in a time such as this, God. It feels amazing to still be able to gather and worship you in truth and in spirit, God. In Jesus' name, do we pray all these things. Amen. You can all be seated. Thank you so much for standing during that. This parable in Luke, I told you, it speaks to me. And you know, a lot of Christians, and I applaud the Christians that do, they pray every day and they read the Bible every day. And some claim they don't sin anymore. And you know, when they leave things on the altar, it stays on the altar. But this message is for the person who doesn't pray every day, the person who doesn't read the Bible every day, the person who forgets to do such things as the good ideal Christian should, the Christian who leaves things on the altar and goes up for prayer, but when the prayer is over, they pick back up those same things and leave out the door. This message is just for those people. So please bear with me. I refuse to stand in this pulpit and lie to each and every one of you. I told you I'm not perfect. I am a backslider. I do not pray every day. There are days I wake up and I may forget to pray, and I may not remember until I lay my head back down and I have to say, God, I thank you for remembering me even though I forgot you. And that may not be your testimony, but that is mine. I don't read the Bible every day. In fact, there have been some weeks that have gone by before I've realized, oh my, I haven't spent time with God in a long time, and it's time for me to go down in prayer and find my special place with him, because it's been way too long. There have been things that I've put down in this altar multiple times, Sunday after Sunday, and somehow wind it right back up with it on Monday. And I always ask myself, well, if I put that down, how did I get it back? And that's because I picked it back up. And this is, you know, you can judge me for it if you want. I don't mind. I'm a Christian. I'm delivered from the opinions of man. So it has no meaning to me of what you think of me. But you and I both know we were all backsliders at one point in time. So I do ask if you have compassion and remembrance of when you were also a backslider. And amen from the crowd won't make that statement, but that's okay, because God still loves me and everyone who is like me. The church doesn't have this level of transparency anymore, and it's doing more harm than good. But that's not why I'm here before you. That's a topic for another Sunday. The topic I'm here for is because God loves the backslider. Glory to your name, Jesus. God loves the backslider. See, I want to break down this text from verse 1 all the way down to verse 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And he says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eats with them. Now, I want to break down this text just to make sure you really understand it. When Christ spoke or entered a place, all of the sinners and tax collectors made it their mission to go and hear him. That's important, especially when we get the very next verse, because it tells us that he had a way of attracting the sinner. He had a way of loving the sinner and not the sin. Don't let that go over your heads. He had a way of loving the sinner, but not the sin. The sinners wanted to make sure they heard the word of the Lord. No matter what they had to do to hear it, they wanted to hear it. But church, who didn't ensure they wanted to hear the word of the Lord? Who was in that presence but doing something exact opposite of the sinner? The Pharisees. These individuals are supposed to be the holiest of holy, are supposed to know the scribes inside and out. But yet, when Christ came and the sinners gathered around to hear what God had to say, the Pharisees judged the sinners for the sins they committed, and then judged God for eating with them and for sharing words with them. The text tells us that the Pharisees thought so much of themselves, they forgot about where they came from. They forgot about the person they was before Christ entered their lives. They forgot about the person they was when they were still a backslider. But I'm grateful that he came to speak to me and loosen up his heart, sensitive heart. Come on, you should understand this message. A lot of people spend a lot of time in the Bible and know it inside and out. But church, I'd rather know God inside and out than the Bible, because the ones who knew the scribes like no tomorrow missed God every single time he passed by. And watch this, they ultimately killed him. Look at someone and say, pay attention to what's important. You should read your Bible every day, and you should also be seeking God and spending time with God. But understand the two are not synonymous, meaning they are not one and the same. Watch this. An atheist can read the Bible and have no intention of spending time with God. They are simply reading a book of historical text. However, an atheist that spends time with God and gets to know God is no longer an atheist, because they're now a Christian. All right. God noticed that the Pharisees were judging him and the sinners. The Bible says that he spoke a simple parable to them. To them, meaning the sinners, the tax collectors, and the Pharisees that were judging everyone. And the parable stated, what man of you? Now listen, church, that line is often overlooked, but God is questioning the Pharisees. He essentially asks them, what kind of man are you? He questions their authority and their character, their ethics and their morals. Watch this. He says, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until it is found? Now, the question he poses or asks them, that what would they do if one of their sheep went missing? Church, I want you to understand that we are God's sheep. So understand that we are in this parable. He is speaking about us. Do not forget that the Pharisees judged the sinners, and God is asking them, if you lost one of your sinners, would you not go back to find them and leave the 99? Would they just chalk this singular loss of a sheep and continue with the 99 that remains? Or would they leave the 99 to go and search for that one? Church, I thank God for searching for me. I thank God for taking his time and looking for me and whatever sin I was in at that time. I thank him for coming to meet me and leading me back on that straight and narrow path. The text says that he left them in the wilderness. And I need you to really understand what this wilderness is. Look at somebody and say, it's the world. God is our guidance in this world. This world is our wilderness. God guides us on this travel called life on earth. So it is safe to say that God left 99 on the narrow path with distractions, temptations, and tribulations to go back and find that one sheep who looks just like me. See, God is taking all of us to the promised land. He's not taking most of us to the promised land, because if it was just most of us, he would have left that one behind and said, I have 99, which is a 99%, which is an A plus. And I know that because grad school only likes A pluses. They are very brutal there. But he says, all that does what? All that follows him shall make it. See, I don't need to wish I had a witness. I am my own witness. I can testify that this narrow path is more narrow than what was advertised. It's like watching the Chevy dealer when they tell you the truck will last 100,000 miles, but they don't mention you need to replace the motor after 50. This walk called the Christian life is harder than what I thought it was really going to be. Walking with Christ requires leaving those sins behind, but I told you I wasn't going to lie to you. Sometimes those sins are fun. Sometimes it's fun to do those things. You know it's wrong. You know you shouldn't be doing those things. But sometimes you just, I just want to do it one more time, God, and I'll stop. I promise this will be the last one. When you and God know you are lying to his face. So while it is a daily effort for me, and I told you I am the backslider, and if there's another one out there, you know what I'm saying. It is a daily effort to stay on this narrow path following Christ. I do misstep. I do sidestep. I do step out on our holy marriage. Hallelujah. But God said he'll still come back for me. He'll still go looking for me. He said he would search the wilderness until he found me. No matter how deep in sin I fell this time. Notice I said this time because it's a chance I'll do it again in the future. He said he will come looking for me. And I came to let someone know this morning, don't let that sin fool you. You will not stay there for the rest of your life. God does have more for you, and God will come back for you. I can testify this morning that when I was in my sin, God came back for me. When I was battling depression and it seemed like it would win, God came back for me. When I lost my way and it didn't seem like I would make it back to the way, God sure enough came back for me. Sin is dragging you deeper and deeper, but God will, look at somebody and say, God will come back for you. Find somebody and give them a look of encouragement. He will come back for you. And when he finds you, just know that there is not a sin too dirty in God's eyes. He will come back for you. The old song said, there is still room at the cross. I said, there is still room at the cross. Somebody ought to thank God for still having room on that rugged cross. Thank God for coming back for you. Thank God for coming back for little old you. I said he's coming back for the sinner. He's coming back for the backslider. He's coming back for them, and them includes me. He will come back for you. He will come back for you. Through the pain and the hurt, he's still coming back for you. Somebody ought to tell God, thank you for not forsaking me. Thank you for not forgetting me. Even on those days I forgot you, thank you for not forgetting me. I know I went days and weeks without saying Jesus, but Jesus, thank you for not going a day nor a second without saying Khalil. Hallelujah. Yeah, all right, I have to finish this text now, so you have to bear with me. I know I'm getting happy, but I told you it speaks to me. We have a few more to go. I think four more verses. And God, I thank you, Jesus, I really do. The Bible says, and when he hath found it, he lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. The Lord said, you should really get this, because this makes me happy more than anything. He said he rejoices when he finds you. God is rejoicing when he finds you. How many times have you heard God rejoicing? Think about that. God's rejoicing over finding a sinner, not finding the ideal perfect Christian. He said, I rejoice when I found that sinner. Whew. God said, and when I find that backslider, I will rejoice in their salvation. God's rejoicing over you ought to make you lose your mind, honestly. And listen, he said, and when he cometh home, he called together all his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found. He said, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Church, get this. God called on all his friends and neighbors. I wish somebody would grasp the word. God made your salvation, watch this, a breaking news story. God had to stop everything that was happening when he found you. All right. He said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. He said, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner, a party of rejoicing in heaven for that one backslider who made it back. God is throwing a party for you. Look at somebody and say, he's throwing a party just for me. Catch the word. It's for that one sinner that what? That repents. All you have to do, catch it, all you have to do is repent of your sins and heaven will lose their minds. The church will shabak and halal like all night long. Shabak meaning scream with a loud voice, and halal means dance like you've lost your mind. Because a backslider has repented of their sins. He said they will rejoice in heaven over that one sinner who repents more over the 99 who needs no repentance. Don't miss that. Watch this. Here's a witness of what will happen when God comes back for you and you repent. Look further down in Luke chapter 15, verse 22. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and sandals on his feet. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. When he comes back for you, I need you to really catch this, because we often read the text without digesting the text. When he comes back for you, he said, I'll bring gifts for my lost child. All right, catch it. He said it's a celebration, because verse 24 says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. When he comes back, he's bringing a new level of faith. When he comes back, he's bringing new salvation. When he comes back, he's bringing new strength. When he comes back, he's bringing new keys. Jehovah Rapha will bring new healing. Jehovah Shalom is bringing new peace. Jehovah Nisi will bring undeniable. Look at somebody and say undeniable victory. Somebody ought to praise God for the new. Come on, church. Don't stop telling. Don't quit on Jesus Center. I refuse to throw in the towel and let sin win. I know God is coming back for me. Repent of it. There's forgiveness in your repentance. There's deliverance in your repentance. There's salvation in your repentance. No matter how many times you have to look up to heaven and say, God, I'm so sorry. There's still deliverance in it. There's still room on that cross. You could sin 1,000 times in your lifetime. God has room for 1,001. Somebody, don't let that pass you. Don't let that pass you by. He said, I made heaven let loose because the backslider has come back home. So church, when a backslider makes their way back in your presence, don't forget what to do. You ought to praise God for that backslider coming back. No matter if it's their 50th time coming back, if it's their 100th time coming back, it could be their 1,000th time walking through that church door. You ought to still let a praise let through your lips because the backslider just came back home. And don't ever forget that it could be you who was the backslider tomorrow. And it was you who was a backslider yesterday. Don't judge someone for their misstepping. because we messed up as well. Don't judge someone because they don't read the Bible as much as you read the Bible. Help them read the Bible more if that's what your concern really is. Help them experience God on a new level if that's really what your concern is. But do not judge them for their missteps. Help them. Look at somebody and say, our job is to help them. That's right. Our job as Christians is to introduce them to Christ. I need you to really understand that our job is to introduce them and help keep them there. You need to really be patient and compassionate with people. As I told you earlier, this road is rough and it's not easy. There are distractions and temptations everywhere in every age group, from children to adults to senior citizens. There are things that will attract your flesh, and sometimes it's hard to not pay attention. I was having a conversation with my coworker, Janae, and she's not here right now. We were talking about when we pray. And we oftentimes have transparent conversations, and I love that about our relationship because we can be honest and open, and that helps lead us to another level in Christ. And I said, you know, Janae, sometimes when I pray, 30 thoughts, sneak into my mind. And sometimes if I'm not careful, my brain will follow those thoughts, and I'll forget that I was spending time with God. So imagine you sitting there trying to pray to God, and you hear what God has to say, and you remember what she was doing last Tuesday. And I mean, you recalling all those events. And I said, Janae, you know, sometimes I have to catch myself and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what just happened. I backslid. That's what happened. The devil slipped something in my mind and I took it and ran, not even realizing the prize was right there. And he might have been just that quick to speak to me, and I've already lost sight of him over that one thought. And me being that transparent, it let me know that others do the same thing, because she looked at me and said, it happens to me too. And that made me know I'm not all that dirty. Because if he came back for her and she's doing the same, he'll come back for me. And it gave me a renewed spirit, a renewed love for him. And we were beginning our conversation and just being honest with each other and saying, and look, she's walking in the door as we're speaking about her. We was being honest with each other and saying that sometimes it's hard on this walk. Sometimes it's hard being, you know, steadfast on the way of God. It's hard, you know, staying on that walk of Christ. But I thank God for still coming back for me, because even when I backslid, he came looking for me. Even when I was in that sin, he came looking for me. And when he found me, he was grateful he found me and made it rejoicing in heaven that he found me. It wasn't a little party. No, he said, I'm going to let heaven loose. When I find my backslider, I'm going to let the world know that I found my sheep. The 99 can wait because I know that they're safe, but this one that slipped, I need to go back for it. So I thank God for going back for that one that slipped, that one that is me. I thank God for coming back for me. I don't know if you thank God for coming back for you, but I thank God he came back for me. Because if I stayed in that sin I was in last year, last week, or last Tuesday, who knows where I would be this Sunday, the 30th of May? Who knows what opportunities I would have missed if God never came back for me? Church, just stay mindful that even when you were a backslider, God was still delivering grace and mercy. It was still following you every step of the way. Come on, look at somebody and say, grace and mercy surely followed me. It surely followed me. Even while I was in that sin, it still followed me. Even when the devil sent things to take me out of the world, grace and mercy put a halt to it and didn't even let death touch the grass in front of my house. It still followed me. His favor still reigned over my life. Opportunities that I should not have gotten still came to my door, and I was still in sin. I can testify about that. I can testify about that 100%. Even when I was a backslider, even when I was messing up and forgetting God, God still sent blessings to me. He still said, yo, go and be what I called you to be. Whether you step out, whether you leave me, whether you forsake me, you will be what I called you to be. A song by the Taylor Carr said, the devil is nothing but a liar. Anytime he tells me I am something, I say, I'm not that. So when the devil told me I wouldn't be this, I said, I will be that. When the devil said, I will stay in poverty, I said, no, I will come out of it. And God has promised to keep me. Jesus promised to keep you. He said he's married to the backslider. He's married to your church. Don't let the devil and sin confuse you. Yes, your sin separates you from God, but God loves the sinner and not the sin. Don't let the devil confuse you. God loves you. He despises what's on the inside of you, but he still loves you. He still loves me. He just doesn't like what I'm doing. All right, church, y'all not really understanding the word, but it must be flying over your heads. But God still loves you no matter what. He still loves you, and he's still coming back for you. I'm done my text. I told you it wouldn't be long. I just came to remind somebody that even when you backslide, don't give up. Don't lose your faith. Keep the faith. God is coming back. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how far you fell in that sin. God is coming back for you. And when he comes back, he will get you. And when he gets you, he will rejoice over finding you. And he will lead you back to the 99 that was in the wilderness waiting for his return. And while you're walking that walk, if you misstep again, guess what, church? What will he do? He'll come back. He'll come back. Somebody ought to get happy about that. He will come back. He said, I'll be on my way. I'll be right there every step of the way. Even though you're walking further and further away from me, I'm still with you. I never really left your side. That's a message for another Sunday. I never really left your side because God knows all. And if he knows all, he already knew you was going to miss that. He already knew you was going to miss that. He knew it was coming. He seen it coming. In fact, I really believe God allowed it to happen because he knew the message you would gain from it. A lot of people take the message to mean for yourself, but I thank God because a lot of things I go through in life, I find myself connecting with someone else who's also going through that. Remember, I said the church doesn't have that transparency. That's why a lot of us are lost on our own, because we're not coming together and discussing our missteps. And when we do come together, we're judging one another. Don't be the Pharisee. Look at somebody and say, don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a Pharisee. When you see the church is coming together, just know it's a bunch of sinners all doing what? Pressing towards it. We're all trying to walk this narrow walk, and it gets hard. So my message to you is don't judge the backslider. Always remember that you were once a backslider. So instead of judging that backslider you come across, and it could be your coworker who was church hurt from 20 years ago. When you come across that person, speak life and love into them. Don't judge them. I don't care what they told you they did. Don't judge them. Be patient and compassionate and hold their hand and walk them back. Because the same way you're walking them back, God walked you back. And God is using you to walk them back. You need to be able to just realize that sometimes people just need some help and don't know how to communicate that. Working with children, it is so frustrating having a child get hurt and not telling you what hurts. I'm not a doctor. That is Dr. Weiss right there. That's not me. I can't do this, okay? You telling me this, I don't know what that means, but I thank God for knowing what this means for me. Because sometimes the enemy will close your mouth and now you can't talk. And I just told you how when you're thinking, sometimes he puts a thought in your head. But I thank God all I can do is just rub it. Or, like the scripture said, when he has you down, all you got to do is look up to the hills. And he'll send strength coming your way. So no matter how deep and down in sin I get, I can still look up. I can still look up. And if I can't look up, I'll say a prayer. I know God made avenues for me to get what I need from him. He made avenues to send victory on my behalf. Look at somebody saying victory on your behalf. All right, that's it. I'm just rambling now. So I thank you all for listening to this sermon. I hope it blessed and touched each and every one of you as it touched me preparing it. May you all be blessed.
Amen. He will come back for you. Amen. Now I'm gonna tell you a little secret. How you can tell who the biggest sinner is. It's a secret. All you have to do is look in the mirror. Because you know what you are doing. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But like Jesus dined with the sinners, as the song goes, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be free. So if that message touched your heart, and you too want to bring all your cares to the table, you too want to sit with the Savior to be redeemed, the one thing you know is that you can't do it on your own. You need the love of Jesus Christ. You need the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you. So every time you have a misstep, He brings you right back. He will convict you, but He will love you. So again, if you would like to accept that call, just please repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that His shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. If you accepted this call today, please visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com and go to our Contact Us page. Check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian, and leave us a short message along with your contact information, and someone will get back to you. Also, if you have a prayer request, again, please visit our website and go to the prayer request page, or just call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so that we can respond. He will come back for you. Thank you, Brother Khalil, for that message. And at this time, we will continue in transition to our time of giving. And at this time, we will call our brother Brandon Rook.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle. Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to give. And this morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through the website, or also by using the mail service, U.S. Postal Mail. So to give by text message, please text to the code, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256. And you will receive a link and instructions to follow. To give through the website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions there. And if you would like to give through the mail, please send in your check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, zip code 19139. For those gathered here in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets to my right at the side ramp door. One is for tithes and offerings, and the other one is for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you for your continued support for the ministry. And now we'll have the announcements. Well, following the offering, we'll have announcements from Deacon Todd McCoy. So thank you.
Good afternoon once again. Our announcement. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of the church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. In response to the city of Philadelphia's most recent restrictions on religious services, We are now limited to 10 people in the sanctuary and 12 people in our third floor overflow area. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has COVID-19, we encourage you, please, to stay home. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice. Please keep that in mind so you can plan your transportation accordingly. Friday night prayer and Bible study continues at 7:30 p.m. via the church conference. The church conference line is 775-799-9141. Monday, June 7th through Friday, June 11th, we will fast for 12 hours, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. At 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., we will all gather on the church conference line for 15 to 20 minutes of time of devotion and reflecting, incorporating scripture and prayer. This week's fast will be led by Deacon Todd McCoy and Elder James Ford. And remember that June 20th is Father's Day. Amen? Amen. Please govern yourselves accordingly. And at this time, we will have our benediction by the preacher of the hour, our own brother Khalil McFarland.
Amen. Amen. Church, please stand as we say this prayer to get up out of here. Dear Heavenly and gracious Father, we come before you this morning, God, to say thank you. Thank you for not forgetting the backslider, Lord. Thank you for not forgetting me, God. Thank you for always remembering me and coming to find me. Even in my sin, God, I thank you for it. God, you are more than good to me. You are better than good to me, God. You're better than good to all of us, God, and we thank you. We ask that this word resonates with us in the coming week and holds us over for the next few days, God. God, we ask that you get glory out of the service and get glory out of our lives. And we ask that this is not the last time we see each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, we do say this prayer. Amen. Amen.